morning, friends. Doing all right? Good. It's pretty warm out there today, so glad you're in here. Some air conditioning. I'm Pastor Sean, and just grateful to be with you. And just here to say that God is faithful. And my wife and I were just chatting as we were up here with our daughter that He is faithful. And those prayers that you pray, they matter. And that it may take years, but God is faithful. Amen? Amen. All right. You ready to get into the message? Are we good? Okay, everybody's good. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 through 7. If you're able to find it, we also have it on the screen if you don't have it in your hand there. I want to read it to you. Paul's words to a young Timothy, a young man, probably late teens, maybe early 20s, and got put in charge of a church, a first century church, brand new Christians, just trying to figure it out. This is Paul's words to him. He says this: "I thank God, whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience. As night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your Spirit that uses it to speak what is true to our hearts and helps us to become more like Jesus. And we just give you permission, God, to speak into each one of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we jumped in last week to this short little series we're calling A Living Legacy. And it's no secret that around here that we believe in family ministry. We don't just have a family ministry. We are a family ministry. And we're trying to figure out what that looks like every day, right? And like looking around, like, what does it mean for us to be a family ministry? And one of the ways that we demonstrated that was getting our high school graduates on the stage and praying over them and inviting you to be a part of their lives. There's like note cards out in the lobby for you to write on, right? For you to be a part of this, that we are a family ministry. And last Sunday, we talked about one of the best ways we can be that is to be people who live in such a way that our lives are worthy of emulation. That with the Holy Spirit's help, we can live lives worthy of honor, lives worthy of being modeled after. And today, if you didn't know it, is Pentecost Sunday, right? And what that means is the day that we mark the coming of the Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago on the disciples huddled in the room. And that we believe that with the power of the Holy Spirit in you, you can live a life worthy of emulation. You can live a life that other people look at and say, I want to be like that. And the first step in helping our students begin to live into that is to position ourselves, both personally and corporately, to help kids and students have an encounter with Jesus Christ, experience the fullness of His kingdom, and the joy of living Spirit-filled lives for His kingdom. And they need to see it in you. Right? They need worthy models. They need to see it in me. They need to see that faith actually matters. Right, that this thing that I call being a Christian actually matters. It makes a difference in my life. And if we're going to be a church and a people that believes that kids and students matter, then we'll give them real life examples of a faith that actually matters. They will see how Jesus is transforming us and leading us in the actual things of life, not just the theoretical things of life. Right? They will see how Jesus is making a difference and how we're relying upon Him. And they will get spiritual mothers and fathers whose lives are worthy of emulation. So they need models. They need actual mothers and fathers who model what it looks like. And they need spiritual mothers and fathers who model what it looks like. And this is our message today, and they need intentional investment. They need intentional investment. Our bottom line today is this: the kingdom of God advances through our intentional investment in young people. Let it sink in for a minute. The kingdom of God advances through our intentional investment in young people. So I want to ask you a question, right? Actually two questions here, as we normally do. How much would you pay for front row seats? right? So just think about like your, like the thing that you were just hyped about, right? So like right now, like tonight, right? NBA finals, right? You've got the, who's on, you know, Pacers and the, who's else is in? Thunder. There you go. The Pacers and the Thunder, right? So maybe you're super hyped about basketball and you want courtside seats to the Pacers and Thunder's game two. You're going to pay up to $50,000 for courtside seats. Anybody? Takers? Talk to me afterwards about your giving. All right. Maybe you're super into baseball, right? And you want to go, you want like seats right behind home plate for game 7 of the World Series, right? Yankees, Dodgers, right? And you're just like, you're all the stars are there. You're going to pay upwards of $15,000 to $20,000 per seat. Right? Anybody? Right? Or maybe you're like, nah, I'm a football person, right? I want to go football. Oh, see, we got a few here. And you want not only 50-yard line front row seats to the Super Bowl, right? You would like field passes as well. And you're going to pay upwards of $25,000 for your tickets, right? The average ticket to the Super Bowl in 2025 was $8,000 a pop, right? Front row seats. Right? Or maybe you're like, I'm not really a sports person. I'm more of a concert person, right? I know there's some people that are up in the production room that would be shouting out right now, right? And you want to go to the concert of your choice, right? It's like, I am just the biggest Swiftie there is out there, right? And, I like wanted to go to the Eras Tour and just front row seats, right? And you're going to pay upwards of $5,000, right, for your ticket to go see Taylor Swift and get up close, right? How much would you pay for a front row seat to the, maybe you're like, man, I'm not really like a concert goer or a big sports person. I'm more about the dollars, right? And so you're like, so the other question would be, what is worth your investment? What is worth, if I gave you $1,000 today, right? And what would you invest it in? And so let's rewind the clock. Right. Let's say I said, hey, I'm launching this really new computer company and it's super cool. Right. And I would really love you to invest in it. And the year is 1980. Right. And you're like, what's a computer? Right. And I was like, I'm starting this company called Apple. And I would you be willing to invest $1,000? If you did, right, and you left it alone, your $1,000 investment is worth $2.5 million today. Right? If you were willing to do that, if you were willing to invest, you're like, I'm not really into like Apple computers. I'm more of a Microsoft guy, right, or a Microsoft person. And you're like, and I come to you, and the year is 1986. It's a good year, right? And you're like, hey, would you be willing to invest, in this little company I'm starting called Microsoft, $1,000? Like $1,000, that's a lot of money. Well, if you did that and you left it alone, today that would be worth more than $5.25 million, your $1,000 investment, right? Or maybe you're like, man, I'm more about like the new stuff coming up, right? I want to like I'm all about like AI and processing and all that stuff. And the year is 1999, a crazy year, right? You're like, I don't know if I can invest like in $1,000 in anything, because like I think the world's going to like end in this, in the year 2000 when the clock hits midnight, like everything's going to go crazy. And I've got my stockpile of things in my garage. So I'm holding I've actually changed my $1,000 into gold. So, if you're like, no, like, hey, 1999, I'm starting this little company called NVIDIA, and if would you be willing to invest $1,000? You're like, yeah, I don't know. And from 1990, 26 years, your dollars, your $1,000 is worth more than $5 million today. There are things that are worthy of your investment, right? If I asked any of you, would you be willing to make that investment today, get in our time machine, go back, take your, you would go out today and find $1,000 as quickly as you possibly could. Right, and invest that money. You would do it, right? And we would all find that there isn't a person alive who would say that that wasn't a worthwhile investment. See, when you invest your life, your resources, your time, right, and your attention into kids and students, you not only get a front row seat into what God is doing in someone's life, you get a return on investment that has a heavenly guarantee. Right, you get a return on investment that is eternal. So we talked last week about the Apostle Paul's investment in this young man's life named Timothy. And Timothy is just starting out. They're all trying to figure out what it looks like to be a Christian, to be a Jesus follower. And if we had time again, right, we could read through 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and see like Paul's passion behind this and how Paul, because of his investment in resources, his investment in attention, and his investment in time, gets him a front row seat into what God is doing in a young Timothy's life. And so he writes this in 2 Timothy in his letter to Timothy, and we read it already. I'm going to read it again, picking up at verse 6. He says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God." Right? So for this reason, it was because we saw it in your grandma. Your grandma had sincere faith, Lois, and we saw it in your mother, Eunice. We talked about last week the power you guys have that we have to pass faith down when we live it authentically. And so Paul says, because you saw it in them and you're living it now, I'm urging you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So in other words, he's saying, I see, Timothy, I see God working in you. In fact, I've got a front row seat to it. And I want to say, run, kid. Like, get after that thing that God is doing something in your life. And I want to help you live fully into all that God wants you to do and to be. And Paul goes on, he says, for the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Paul's like, are you scared? Me too. It is scary to step in to what God has for you, but I'm here to tell you not to let fear keep you from leaning in to all that God is doing. God doesn't make us afraid. The Holy Spirit gives us power to do the work, right? The Holy Spirit gives us love to do the work with the right motives, right? The Holy Spirit gives us self-discipline to not disqualify ourselves from the work that God has for us. Now, this just may be, like some of you know, like I spent a lot of years in student ministry, so I will fully admit you're getting some of my student ministry passion and roots today, right? But how cool to have a front row seat into what God is doing in someone's life. Someone is always worth your investment. And when we invest in students' lives, we not only get a front row seat to what God is doing, you get the opportunity to put wood on the fire. Right, Paul says, I put my hands on you, Timothy. Right, I saw something in you, and I put my hands on you, and I called it into being. Right, I had this investment in you of my resources and my attention and my time, and I wanted to put wood on that fire. I wanted to be involved in your life because there's nothing better than having a front row seat into what God is doing in somebody's life. You want front row seats to something amazing. There is no better show than what God is doing in people's lives. When you get up close, right? Scott talked about how one of our values here is personal connection, that everything changes when it's someone you know, right? The idea is that we bring people close, right? Because we want to see, we want to be a part of what God is doing in their lives, what God is doing in you. And I tell you what, I'm pumped about some of the things that God is doing in young people today. I'm going to invite Trevor to come on up here as he makes his way up. You can give him a hand.
Yeah. Trevor.
Trevor is a freshman, soon to be sophomore, at Crescent Valley High School, involved in HSM, our high school ministry. And come on over, Trevor. You can come on over inside of me. And Trevor was a part of a group of our students and a whole bunch of other students that went over to Idaho a couple of weekends ago for what was called the Great Conference, and just a gathering to worship and have fun. And some things happened there that I want to ask Trevor to share with you about. And they went over for a few days, and they had some worship and some things like that. And there came an evening, I think it was Sunday night, right, Trevor? Sunday night where God's Spirit just fell on this crowd of students. And Trevor, for a while now, has been sensitive to God and what the stirring of God's Spirit. And you were sensitive in that moment to that. So tell us a little bit about what happened on that night.
Okay, yeah. So basically, we were all in worship that night. And before I actually went into that worship session, I prayed to God. And I asked him for his Holy Spirit just to move through me and move through everybody around me. And I had no faith in that prayer. Like, as soon as I said it,
anybody ever prayed a prayer
that
you didn't have faith in?
Right. Okay. Yeah. So I go into there, and the person who was speaking, he was talking about being still, right? And I am the complete opposite of that. I like to be around, I like to move and
stuff.
Couldn't tell. Could not be me, I felt. And so during worship, everybody's super excited, we're pumped, and God speaks to me, tells me to be still. And I'm like, is he actually talking to me, or am I just thinking this? And I be still. So I, during all the worship, I sit and I listen to God. And there he tells me to go up front and be example and show others maybe who are feeling anxious, who are feeling maybe shy to go up, that it's not, there's no judgment in the Lord's house, and that you can just go up and praise God wholeheartedly and with nothing else. You can praise him with all you have. And so I go up there, and I walk up, and I'm just up there by myself, and I'm praising. And then shortly after, I'm followed by all of my youth group. And that just shows me that God's telling me that I'm not just thinking those thoughts, but Jesus really just told me to go up there and show how to lead by example.
Yeah. So isn't that amazing? Yeah. So you go up there and lead, from what I've heard and what I've read actually from other churches, that the Holy Spirit really just comes on the whole place.
Absolutely,
and begins meeting people. Last week we talked about somebody has to go first, mm-hmm. right? And,
yep.
and God uses people who go first. Yep. And you did that, and people yep. responded right to that. And I think Pastor Amy was telling me that afterwards you guys kind of all gathered together, and God was still stirring in you, right?
Absolutely.
And tell me a little bit about kind of what God was stirring in you in that moment. We didn't really talk about this part, but what was God stirring in you in that moment to share with your youth group members?
Before we went into that, we were all praising God, and it just felt so good, right? And then the guy comes up, and he's like, all right, we're going to wrap this to an end. And I'm like, no, wait, why does this have to end? Which that was one of the stupidest things I could say, because that doesn't have to end, because the Holy Spirit is everywhere, right? So I'm just in there, I'm talking to people, and I just want to bring this to here. I want to bring that atmosphere to here, because the Holy Spirit is not just in churches. You can praise God on the way to school. You can praise God on the way to work. You can praise God everywhere, because he is everywhere, right? And so lately you might have seen we've brought our youth group and we've brought some of our kid life here, and we're just praising God because we it's not to brag, it's not to like show off, it's to show you guys how the Holy Spirit is moving through us.
All right, well, I don't even need to preach anymore. I'm just gonna let you go, brother. So you want a front row seat? Yo, you gotta stop. We gotta stop wasting our time. If you're not gonna move, Jesus says, if you won't cry out, the rocks will. And I think he probably translated it wrong. He says, if you won't cry out, my kids will. And so often we get our eyes fixed on the wrong things. Jesus says the kingdom of God is like a seed. It's like a lost coin. You gotta sweep the house. You gotta look. If you're not looking for it, you will miss it, and you're invited to have a front row seat into what God is doing. And the kids will lead us. And you're just catching a little piece here of what God is doing in our students, because we're praying for it. And Pastor Amy is leading them well and helping them to tune in to God's Spirit. And I wanted you to hear from Trevor today. And quite honestly, we didn't really talk about it. I just knew God was working in him, and I knew he could hold a microphone, and he just started preaching, all right? And so this is what I want to do this morning. We have an opportunity to fan into flame something God is doing. And Trevor, we believe that God is stirring something in you. And you had the boldness to go first. You have the boldness to stand on the stage. I think, what did Paul say, right? Like, don't be timid, right? God doesn't make us afraid. God gives us power and love and self-discipline. And so we just want to take a moment to pray for you and to pray that what God is starting in you, and we're going to talk about it in a minute, that you will lean into, and that he will continue to make you more and more aware and continue to give you more confidence. And Chris and Joanne, right? This is like child dedication now. Here we go. All right? You're accountable. Like, you didn't ask for it. Maybe you did, right? But you're accountable to put wood on that fire, to live lives worthy of emulation. You're the first line of defense. And the rest of you are accountable as well, right? To show them what it looks like, to show them a faith that matters. Not just to, you know, like, show up and get out of here and whatever. I'm going to pray for you, okay? So, thank you for being honest. Thank you for saying yes to what God is doing in you. And we believe that this is just the beginning, right? And that that students can lead us into all that God has for us. It doesn't have to be the adult. It doesn't have to be the pastor. That you lead by the way you live and by your courage. And I just want to pray that the Spirit empowers you and enables you to live more and more into that. So God, I thank you for Trevor. I thank you for his courage. I thank you for his tender heart. And Father, I pray that you would protect that heart. God, that you would guard that heart. That you would continue to fill him with your Spirit in such a way that Jesus just oozes out of him. That you give him a passion for this generation and a passion for your kingdom. That you would give him eyes to see and ears to hear. God, that he would know which way to go. Lord, we know that you never give us all the steps. You never give us everything laid out, but just what's right in front of us. And so I pray that you would help him have the courage just to take the next step. And God, that you would help us to be a church that lives lives worthy of emulation. So he's got people to look to. Say, I want to be like that, and I want to be like that. And God, that we would let them lead us into the good kingdom that you're bringing to earth as it is in heaven. So I just pray your blessing over Trevor. God, I pray that you would give him a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give it up for Trevor. Thanks, buddy.
Yep.
Love you.
Love you.
Yes.
Right?
That's amazing. Yes, we want to know what your schedule is for the next 8 weeks. Love it. Yeah. Well, see, you guys, God is already at work. Right? God is already at work in the lives of young people all over this church, right, and all over this world. And the Holy Spirit is moving in their lives, and they just need to see examples of people who live a life where faith actually matters. Spiritual mothers and fathers who live lives worthy of emulating, and they need intentional investment. And it's a worthy investment, amen? It's a worthy investment. See, Paul expresses his confidence in the investment that he's making in young Christians when he writes this letter to the church at Philippi. Pastor Amy shared the passage during our senior moment, right? And he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Your investment in a student has a heavenly guarantee. It just does. It may not always turn to gold, right? I'm down here praying for students that I spent years investing in that aren't following the Lord right now. But it's a heavenly investment, right? The fruit that happens out of that is not up to me. That's up to the Holy Spirit. It's up to God. It's still worth my investment. It has a heavenly guarantee, right? I didn't start the work. God did. I don't have to complete the work. God will. I just have to have the opportunity to steward the work that God has done in my life and the resources he has entrusted to my care and turn that out into the lives of other people. So Fuller Youth Institute, in partnership with Barna and over 130 other partners, they have this big vision right now, and it's called 10 by 10, right? They have a vision of seeing 10 million students come to Christ in the next 10 years. Big vision. Right? And it's happening, y'all. It's beginning to happen all over the country. And what they've done is they've done research and studies and they're resourcing. And some of the work that they've done around the research with Barna is to begin to figure out specifically why teens are leaving faith. Right? So what they say is about 1 million teens every year will walk away from faith. It's why teens are leaving faith and what strategies have shown to be statistically effective in helping teens and young adults have a faith that sticks. And I want to give you five real quick, and then we're gonna close it up. So five real fast, some of the things that they've seen statistically proven to help kids have a faith that sticks, that our investment is in kids and students helps move the kingdom of God forward. Right? When we do these things, the kingdom of God advances. And so the first one, we talked about this last week. There's a graphic on the screen. It's really small. I apologize, but you can squint. Right? Is faith is shared by adults. Right? We talked about this last week, that the adults around them live lives worthy of emulation. Students have multiple trusted adults in their life that model a faith that matters. Right? That giving kids our life with God. The most important thing you can give your students, right, your son or your daughter, is your life with God. To let them see your faith lived out loud. That is the most important thing you can do. Or you can take them on trips, you can give them all sorts of experiences, all those things are great, do those things. The most important thing you can do is give them your life with God. This is the number one thing. Faith is shared by adults. Number two is faith is internalized through spiritual practices and learning. Pat your back on the church, you know, pat yourself on the back, Life Community Church, and you're focused on the spiritual practices, right? And specifically, they say that when we practice prayer, scripture, witness, Sabbath, right, and study, that's helping them to learn the foundations of the faith, they have a faith that sticks, right? And so some of the things that we're already sensing God is doing in us is some of the things that students need to help them live a faith out loud. Third one is faith is applied through service. Guess what? Right? If you walk around on a Sunday, you see students serving everywhere, right? And when young people flourish, when they serve and they lead, right? And so we do Serve Sunday with our middle schoolers and we get them involved, right? Our high school ministry teens and young adults are serving in multiple areas, right? Abigail walked, most of our seniors walked out of service today to go serve somewhere. Trevor walked out of service today probably to go serve somewhere, right? And so they're serving every Sunday in multiple areas. And we need to do a better job of letting them lead. Right, of saying, hey, you got this. And guess what? That's scary and it's messy. Anybody like cleaning up messes? Yeah, me either, right? See, when you are serving alongside them in your ministry area, right, when you get to partner with them and come alongside them in ministry areas, encourage them, right? This is your job, right? Just be a sponge in that space, right? Sponges clean up messes. Can you be a sponge when you're in that space? Like, hey, I'm here to clean up a mess. Like, I know you're going to make a mess. You're learning, right? So I'll be a sponge, and I'll absorb the mess they make. I'll be a sponge and listen to them because I think maybe they have something to teach me. And so I'll listen to what God is doing. I'll try to pay attention. I might even ask for their advice, and then I might pray over them. I can be a sponge and serve alongside them and partner with them. And then these next two are really the foundations. This makes everything else possible. And number four, families intentionally build faith and family intimacy. Right? That our family ministry team works hard to partner with parents, right, to help make that happen. And I'll make a confession today. I'm not very good at this. Right? I'm not very good at being intentional. And I'm the pastor. Right? Like, I should have this thing nailed. It's not easy. Right? And you don't have to be perfect, right? You just make it important. Perfection is not the goal, right? You just make it important, right? And have a faith that matters. So families intentionally build faith and family intimacy. And then number five, this is why we're doing the series, the local church community and leadership prioritizes young people through its structure, its culture, and its decision-making. All right, I think we do a pretty good job. We got work to do. Right, there's still more work that we have to do in helping involve what God is doing in young people all over the place. Right, and this is really what we're talking about today. So I want to give you three things that you can do to invest in the younger generation because the kingdom of God advances, right, when we make an intentional investment in the younger generation. All right, so the first one is this. Pastor Amy said this, but I'm going to take it back. Right, because she said it's not required. It's required. Right, so the first one is investing our resources. When you give sacrificially to LCC, you're investing in the next generation. Our family ministry has the largest ministry budget, and it doesn't even cover what needs to cover. When you give sacrificially, month by month, week by week, to LCC, it's not just paying my salary. You're investing in the next generation because we believe that it's important. And so we invest our resources. We have a value of generosity, right? We go out of our way to give ourselves away. You just heard a testimony about what your giving is doing. When you give, you get to be a part of that. And so we give sacrificially. Man, I know I'm weird, right? So I'll admit that right out the gate, right? But for some reason, God stirred in my heart that literally from high school, I have been giving 10% of my income. When I was a junior in high school, started doing that. And have done it in every job I've carried since. And guess what? I'm gaining pounds, right? I don't have lack, right? God takes care of me, and I know it's scary, but you can do it, right? God stirs this in us to be a part of what he's doing in his kingdom. And I've been doing it so long, I just forget about it. It's automatic at this point, right? But it's a way that God wants to help us invest ourselves in advancing his kingdom in the world. So I just encourage you, I know I'm being bold this morning, get in the game. Make that investment. It's a worthy, and you can trust our organization. Everything's out in the open, so you can see, right? But Pastor Amy in family ministry is working with like half of what she needs to get done. But that's just because that's where we're at, right? And so we can all be involved when we invest our resources. Number two, investing our attention, right? So we pay attention to what the little acts over time are greater than heroic gestures. Right? They just are, right? You don't have to join the family ministry team, though Pastor Amy would love to talk to you about that, right? You don't have to join the family ministry team, but everybody can notice, everybody can learn a name, everybody can serve alongside a student, find out something new about one another. You can be curious, right? So we invest our attention by just being curious about a student's life. Number three, invest our time. Right, and maybe you'll take a next step and explore what it looks like to serve in family ministry, partner with young adults. Maybe you'll add kids and families to your prayer list, and you'll just invest some time praying. Maybe you'll see a young family. We've got a few of them around here. Maybe you'll see a young family out there, and you'll invite them to dinner at your house because they're worthy of your investment. Or you'll take them out to McDonald's after church. Sacrifice. You got to eat it. Right, but maybe you'll say, you know what, you're worthy of my investment. So I'm going to invest my resources. I'm going to invest my attention. I'm going to invest my time. You can drop thousands of dollars on a front row seat to your favorite show. You can drop thousands of dollars to front row seats to, you know, whatever sports you like. And those aren't bad things, right? But when you invest your life in someone else, you get a front row seat into what God is doing. You get a front row seat into the advancement of the kingdom that's carried through to eternity. I just want to wrap up with this thought. You see, when Jesus started his public ministry, he was about 30 years old, young man. And it was customary in those days that a rabbi would select followers who were younger than them. Right, and so Jesus follows this custom, and if you read in Matthew chapter 4, he goes out and finds some young men, right? These, and they're fishing in the Sea of Galilee, and these young men were probably actually teenagers, right? So they were probably 15, 16, 17, maybe early 20s. They were young, and Jesus wasn't old, right? Jesus was 30 years old. Now, do we believe Jesus was who he says he was? Okay. If we believe that, Jesus then has all the resources in the world at his disposal, correct? All the options available to him, if we believe who he says he is. Jesus could have gone around the Mediterranean and the Middle Eastern world. He could have picked the very brightest rabbis to come and help me do this thing. He could have gone down to Athens and picked out the most erudite philosophers that he could find and said, come do this thing with me. Right? He could have gone anywhere that he wanted. He could have gone to the agora, right, to the marketplace and picked out the sharpest entrepreneur he could find and say, hey, come do this thing with me. I'm bringing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, and I need your help. And they could have taken the world by storm, and it would have seemed like a really good plan to me. Like, that's how I would have done it. But that's not what he does. It's not what he does. He chooses to advance the kingdom of God in the world by asking a group of teenagers and young adults to do it. Like, just let that sink in for a minute. This is what he does. It's not that other generations don't matter, so don't hear that today. But this is what Jesus does. The kingdom of God advances through our intentional investment in young people. And guess what? It's messy. It was messy for Jesus, right? Like, they screw it up. They get it wrong, right? But they're resilient. They bounce back, right? And you're here today in part because Jesus invested his resources, his time, and his attention into a group of youngsters who, when the Holy Spirit falls on them, they change the world. They change the world. Jesus chooses to advance the kingdom of God in the world by asking a group of teenagers and young adults to do it. He had other resources at his disposal. I don't know about you, but I want a front row seat. That's really why I'm standing here. There's a lot of things that I don't like about ministry. There's a lot of things that I would rather do. But one thing I would rather not do is give up my front row seat into the lives of people, into the lives. That's why I'm here. I just want that front row. I'm selfish. Like, God, give me that front row seat. I'll throw logs on that fire all day long. Give me that front row seat. And church, I want to be a church that wants a front row seat into people's lives. And maybe it's the person sitting next to you. Maybe it's the, you know, the sixth grader. Maybe it's the high school senior. I don't know. But I want the front row seat. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians, for the glory of God and the salvation of many. Just for the glory of God and the salvation of many. So, as we close, what part is the Holy Spirit stirring in you to play? Maybe you got resources, and you're just like, I'm gonna give, like, I got resources, and kids need resources, students need resources, right? They got all the energy, I got no more energy, but I got resources, right? I'm gonna give resources, right? Maybe it's attention, maybe it's time, right? Maybe it's like, Father, forgive me, because I've had my eyes on things that are not of the kingdom, and I need to get my eyes on the kingdom. I need to put away the news. I need to put away social media. I need to put it all away because it takes my eyes off the kingdom. And you're here to keep your eyes on the kingdom, to search for it like hidden treasure. And when you work with students, it's not hard to find. See it all over the place. So maybe today, just Jesus, forgive me for taking my eyes off the kingdom, getting distracted, and put my eyes on the kingdom. Help me to live a life worthy of emulation. Help me to be a spiritual mother and father. I don't feel qualified, but with your spirit in me, I can do it. I trust you to do that in me. Help me to be willing to invest my resources and my attention and my time. And maybe, just maybe, we'll get to be a church that helps reach that 10 million student goal. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be cool to see God do an amazing thing in this generation? I invite you to stand with me. I want to pray for us as we prepare to go today. Our worship team's going to come, and they're going to sing a song that you, if you want to stick around for, you can. You don't have to, because I'm going to dismiss you. But I would encourage you, as you go today, consider, what's the Holy Spirit stirring in you? How might the Holy Spirit stir you to play a part in what God is doing in the lives of young people today, that we might see the kingdom advance in a way that we've never seen before? God, we thank you that this isn't a work that we have to do on our own. And God, we confess we didn't start it. We believe we can't finish it. But God, you're faithful. And when we invest our lives in students, and really when we invest our lives in other people, it's a heavenly investment. And it's the best investment we could ever make. And God, I thank you that you've given me a front row seat to so many lives. And some of them are amazing. And we rejoice. And some of them, God, we mourn. And we continue to ask that your Spirit would just cause that seed to come out of the ground that we know is there. And that something beautiful would grow in their life. That they would taste and see that the Lord is good. I thank you for this church, and I thank you for what you're doing in us. I thank you for Trevor and the other teenagers. And God, we just believe that you're not done, that you are just getting started. So would you just stir in us a passion to see your kingdom come? Would you help us to live sacrificially? Would you help us to pay attention? God, we'll continue to trust you. And Spirit, as we celebrate your coming on the day of Pentecost, we just ask that you would fall afresh on us again. And that we might not walk out of this place without a new anointing in us. God, because we believe you want to act and you want to move. And so we want to be a church that says yes. We want to be a church that goes first. And so would you give us vision? Would you help us to see? And God will join you in that work. We pray these things.